at WBAI.org on the web.
They paid Paradise, put up a parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone. It'd be paradise, put up a parking lot.
If they keep on polluting the earth, tell me where we gonna plant our seed. It makes me wanna cry for the children. Makes me wanna cry for Mother Earth. Makes me wanna cry for the children. Makes me wanna cry.
Did they ever hear of solar power? Ever see a windmill go? Feel the pull of an ocean wave? We could do, there's so much we could know if we listen to the earth.
Welcome. Glad you can join us for Ecologic at our new time. You're listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. Clean air and water are healthy air and water. Every day is Earth Day. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein, and this is Ecologic for Wednesday, July 26, 2023. When your air or water are clean, thank an environmentalist.
When your air or water are clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said.
Ecologic is known for covering important environmental news, information, and entertainment. Today, our guest is Priscilla Grimm, and we'll be talking about the murder of the American environmentalist Tortuguita in Wilani Forest in Atlanta and public opposition to Pop City. But first, we'll talk about New York Independent System Operator Report on the electric grid, Newark Franciscan Charity Success in replacing disposable plastics with reusables in their meal program, the danger of tritium, and Governor Hochul's delay in signing the Save the Hudson bill and the first public meeting of the Hudson Canyon Marine Sanctuary Commission.
We try to open every show with good news. Clean Water Action's Rethink Disposables brings us a good news story on the anniversary of New Jersey's bag and polystyrene ban bill, which has led to more than 8 million single-use bags being avoided. The Franciscan Charities of Newark have been serving midday meals to 200 to 400 people 5 days a week since the pandemic. They were takeaway meals with disposable plastic or hinged containers and utensils, which had been used indoors before the pandemic. The group recently moved into a newly renovated building and can again serve indoor meals, and Rethink Disposables has partnered with them to convert to 100% renewables. Meals will be served on reusable plates with stainless flatware, not plastic utensils, and beverages in washable cups, not plastic water bottles. Franciscan Charities of Newark will save more than $36,000 annually by not restocking disposable containers, in turn preventing nearly 1 million individual disposable items, over 6,000 pounds, 3 tons, from getting littered or going into landfills or incinerators.
What a great model for anybody.
Right?
The New York Independent System Operator, NYISO, is the quasi-government, quasi-independent organization that safeguards and maintains the electricity grid in New York. Their stated focus is to ensure the reliability of the grid. A group of us went on a tour of NYISO's operations. Now, I'm glad NYISO exists, but most of their employees are drawn from utilities like Con Ed, and they don't consider solar power an energy source. They call it reduction of demand. So their figures will not take the steady increase of rooftop solar into account, nor the steady increase of energy efficiency, nor City Law 97, which mandates efficiency. They are so utility-oriented that they only count utility-supplied electricity in their predictions, which is why they're always too high.
Mm.
Their 2023 report only turned up large-scale solar installations. They're predicting an electricity shortfall in New York City. But since they don't include a lot of our energy sources, that report is not accurate. It's political.
Hmm. Governor Hochul, where are you? The governor still hasn't signed the bill to get the bleep out of our Hudson River bill. Write this down, A7208 and S6893. The Save the Hudson bill was passed weeks ago with bipartisan support by both houses of the New York State Legislature. Hochul hasn't even asked for it yet, which is the first step that's required. Please call Governor Hochul and tell her to ask for the bill and then sign it or not, but take action. We are worried that we will have the bill ignored until after Holtec has dumped the radioactive wastewater into the Hudson River. This is an opportunity to set a precedent for other states coping with decommissioning reactors. Call the governor and give your opinion about the A7208 and S6893 bills to save the Hudson River. Her number is 518-474-8390. That's 518-474-8390.
There's a lack of understanding of how harmful radioactive tritium is to our health. The industry lies about it being no big deal, and many otherwise intelligent activists accept that. In order to justify dumping radioactive wastewater into the local waterways, the radioactive polluters are trying to convince people that tritium is not harmful. Even some environmentalists are accepting and repeating these industry lies. It's virtually impossible to separate tritium out of water. Basically, tritium is water with radioactive hydrogen, so it is almost identical to standard water, H2O. When one of the H's, ordinary non-radioactive hydrogen, is replaced with tritium, that water is now radioactive. But it still behaves like water. It flows, it evaporates, it goes into clouds, it falls as rain, it gets into our bodies. That's why it's so dangerous. Look for an upcoming show devoted to this major issue. Governor Hochul's number is 518-474-8390. That's 518-474-8390.
The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA, has been one of the few government agencies I liked. When they announced a public Zoom event on the establishment of the Hudson Canyon Marine Sanctuary not far from New York and New Jersey, I looked forward to the meeting. I was disappointed. It was oriented to commercial and recreational fishing, nothing on whales, seabirds, or benthic critters who live on the ocean floor. No grassroots environmental groups were invited. I was allowed to say so during Q&A and listed in their chat a few environmental groups that could have been included. Let's hope the commission will improve.
Now we welcome our guest, Priscilla Grimm. Hi, Priscilla. Please introduce yourself.
Hello. Thank you for having me. I'm really honored to be back on the show. My name is Priscilla Grimm, and I'm a longtime activist from New York City.
Priscilla, tell everyone about Cop City.
Well, I'm from Brooklyn, New York, but I have joined people around the country to support the Cop City movement because it has been reported from the Atlanta Police Foundation itself that police departments across the country and the world will train at Cop City, making this a national issue. This is why people like myself from Brooklyn, went to Atlanta, Georgia in March to a week of action to join activists in Willani Forest. While I was there, I was unexpectedly and violently tackled and arrested while walking to a musical event. It was terrifying. I did not know if I would lose my life. And, so that's what happened to me while I was there. And now, as a result, I am facing the charge of domestic terrorism, for which the state of Georgia can wait up to 4 years to start any kind of legal process. I am in a precarious place right now in my life as a result. But that's, you know, the people of Atlanta are in a precarious place right now.
And they're largely against this movement, aren't they? I mean, against
absolutely. They've had in both 2022 and 2023, they had over 10 hours of public testimony to city council saying mm-hmm. that they did not want this facility and what the facility is. So what is Cop City? So Cop City is this fake city that they're calling a training facility that they want to build in a forest in Atlanta. It's one of the lungs of Atlanta. A runoff from the site is causing incredible damage to the local watershed. Okay. And people have been protesting this for the past 3 years. And as a result, the state of Georgia has twisted, stretched the definition of terrorism beyond recognition. You know, I'm sitting here as someone who on 9/11, I watched from my rooftop as thousands of people died in real time. It's completely offensive to me that any of these acts alleged by Georgia law enforcement, the absolute worst of which involved property damage and most of which involved things like being muddy or anything like terrorism. And also, you know, the police are incredibly violent. They shot and murdered a protester, shooting them over 50 times, Tortuguita, as they were sitting cross-legged with their hands in the air. And what they're doing to what they did to Tortuguita, what they did to people like me, is really starting to create a way in which they, you know, the state and state power and those who are trying to protect the violence of policing are choosing to treat people of this country who want to stop the violence of policing. They come into our neighborhoods, they murder people, and, you know, resistance is branded as terrorism.
They're even going after the bail funds and the people
they accused the movement of charity fraud when they defrauded taxpayers and lied about the true cost of Cop City. I mean, it's literally, you know, a place in which the police are being militarized against the people who ostensibly pay, you know. And the thing is that most of the entities that are paying for Cop City are from outside of Atlanta. They're huge corporations like Delta, like Home Depot, like Cadence Bank. You know, this is a bank that has, since its inception, not given mortgages and loans to people of color to buy their own homes. But yet they're giving all this, you know, they're giving millions of dollars to build a fake city that nobody's going to live in. But
And that brings to mind that we're hearing that there are other Cop Cities planned around the country.
There are.
This one has to be stopped as soon as possible.
Yes, if we can stop a Cop City in Atlanta, Georgia, we can stop Cop Cities everywhere.
So there's symbolism involved here.
Yes.
And we know how much the corporations love symbolism. I remember the symbolism of you know, we have to turn on that nuclear plant that they're protesting so much so that we can say we won.
Right, exactly.
And they seem to love to do this. The other thing that it makes me think of is, you know, it's the city part of Cop City, that somehow they're training people to look upon people who live in urban areas as enemies.
Yes, exactly.
And I just find that just nuts. It's like we're all people, whether we live in the suburbs or the city. But somehow, if you live in the city, you're bad.
I don't know. But I think they're just attacking. They're after everyday citizens wherever you live. They don't want any resistance to anything. They want total control.
It's just that people in the cities can organize better. you know, they were more concentrated and they work better. So they, people in cities are just more organized, I think.
I mean, what's even more frightening is that most of the, nearly half of the police that are going to be trained at Cop City are going to be recruited from out of state. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if Cop City could possibly be, you know, this is from the Atlanta Police Foundation's own application for funding for the project to the city of Atlanta, that they intend on making this a center of training nationally for the United States. So stopping Cop City now will stop the NYPD from becoming even worse. You know, one section of the training of the NYPD from being even worse.
Here's an off the wall thought. There have been lots of concerns about New York police, other police departments training with Israel. Mm-hmm. Given the great increase in concern about Israel's right wing government and so forth, is this a replacement?
Oh, I couldn't.
I don't know. I mean, just a strange thought crossed my mind. Of, you know, something to look into.
Wow. There are so many connections to this. I mean, that's one of the things we do in Ecologic is we connect the dots of different issues. And this is certainly one of those connections. And Priscilla, when we spoke to you before, you talked about Rikers a little bit and how there's a connection between what's going on at Rikers or all the people dying there and the building of a cop city and the attitude involved. Could you explore that a little bit?
I mean, one of the things I can say about, you know, I just spent 31 days in jail in Atlanta and had a lot of experiences while I was there. Mm-hmm. And as I got home and started being, when my brain started coming back together again, and I started researching some of the things that I experienced with, you know, lack of medical care for people, real medical care for people, the coldness that they subjected us to. It couldn't have been more than 55 degrees the entire time we were there. We only had like t-shirts and thin uniforms to wear. You know, starvation. We were only fed twice a day. We didn't have books to, you know, that, I mean, we were stuck in a terrarium. I had like 3 hours total of fresh air and sunlight. Everybody in the, that I was in the pod cage with had the same. You know, these are all common problems across jails in the United States. And yeah, especially with the medical care piece of it. I mean, you know, just this week, another person died at Rikers. Just this week, another person died at DeKalb County Jail where I was held. This is all connected, you know, the jails do not bring the best outcomes that we seek in society. And we need to innovate past this model of a carceral state. It's not, you know, creating a training facility in order to basically shove people into jail by any means necessary needs to be stopped.
Yeah.
I think we can all agree to that. I mean, it's not even, I don't even know that you can reform it. You know, they've been trying, you know, Rikers was the reformed prison from what existed before. So, and they keep, you know, every 30 years or so, you can look back in the news and they talk about the wonderful reforms that they've made in jails, you know, and just to have to turn around and re-reform it is like, how many times are you going to reform something that just doesn't work? We need something new. We need to invest in a culture of care for our communities in a way that transforms how we see each other and how we treat each other.
I'm starting to hear a little
do that.
Yeah. I'm starting to hear a little talk of restorative justice circles and things like that. And how do we get that to be a model instead of lock them up and, you know, yeah.
I mean, we have to work together as a people to make that happen, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're certainly organized. The police are certainly organized nationally and internationally. So we, you know, Bill Bratton, who was our police commissioner, like did a world tour after he left his service here in New York to train people from everywhere, from London to Mexico City to Israel. Right. Like he did the circuit, you know, this.
he should have learned from them rather than taught other places.
He was boasting when they train cops, they boast about you are the predator. And they do this whole thing. You'd think it was a nature program, except they're talking about people as prey and people as predators on other people.
It's military image
And now's a good time to mention that there is a prison reform show on WBAI every Saturday at 10 o'clock, right after David Rothenberg, every Saturday. And I urge you to listen to it. It's an absolutely wonderful show. They've been doing a fantastic job with On the Count. So 10 a.m. every Saturday, listen to that show. We tried to get somebody from them, but weren't able to. Listen to what they have to say about what's going on in this country. And, you know, it's funny. Right before Ecologic started, there was a promo for Michael G. Haskins' show that follows ours, about the necessity of air and sunlight for living.
Yeah.
And how there were all kinds of tenant reforms passed in New York City starting in the mid-19th century to make sure people had access to sunlight and running water. So it's not like they don't know how important those things are.
And if you listen to the testimony to City Council in Atlanta, it's all on YouTube. I mean, the people of Atlanta are crystal clear. They know that quality housing, healthcare, and good paying jobs are what they need, in their community. They don't need $90 million spent on a militarized training facility in a forest that's disrupting nature. I mean, and the thing is that we need to stop thinking of ourselves as separate from nature. We are part of nature. We are of the earth, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like we are all connected. And you know, something like a police training facility just disrupts that entirely and just separates you from nature entirely and tries to convince you that you are not part of that system when we very much are.
And it's funny, we talk about this as though it's obvious. And I think to most of the people listening to Ecologic, it is obvious. But
right.
To the people making decisions about things like Cop City, it's not obvious or they're in denial. You know, who was it who said that you can't teach somebody something if their income relies on them not knowing it?
Right. But, you know, the environment in which they live is changing drastically. Like Atlanta keeps having problems with big flood events. And that is very much a part of, you know, uprooting trees and disrupting the environment.
Overdevelopment.
It's just, you know, we need green space. Like we don't need militarized police. We need green space. We need care. We need homes.
All the dollars that they're planning to put into that could do so much better for the community.
Absolutely.
And leaving the forest alone, it could absorb, you know, the water and give off the, you know, the oxygen.
Yeah, almost every place that a large swath of forest is cut down creates a flood.
Yeah.
And there's mountains just outside Atlanta. So the runoff from those mountains, if there are no trees and bushes and forests to absorb that runoff from those mountains, there will be floods in the people of Atlanta. Whether they will connect those floods to allowing or over their suggestion, I mean, since the people are against Cop City, but if they will connect what happened at Cop City and the destruction of the Wilani Forest with those floods, I hope they do.
I hope it never gets to that point.
I hope so too.
We have a quote.
So many places.
Yeah, we have a quote in our promotion for the show from Theodore Roosevelt, a nation that destroys its soils, destroys itself. Forests are the lungs of our land, purifying the air and giving fresh strength to our people.
That's we had so many more back then.
Yeah, that's Theodore Roosevelt. Nobody was talking about. Yeah. It is amazing. And, oh boy, excuse us, Priscilla, we have a short interruption and we'll be back with you soon. Something all producers need to do is raise money to keep WBAI on the air to ensure that the bills get paid and the transmission towers keep transmitting.
WBAI, there is no other station like it. You tell us that every time we meet you. We give you content that you don't get on other media. Other stations are full of ads. We're not. We don't tell you to buy things you don't need. We're sure that you need WBAI. We don't bend to corporate advertisers, WBAI, or at other Pacifica stations, as our funds come from listeners like you and some public service announcements.
We support every environmental issue, so a donation to us is like donating to many groups. Ecologic brings you actions you can take, rallies, marches, direct actions, letters, emails, petitions, concerts, webinars, conferences, lobbying efforts. It's all important. Help us to help community groups get the word out.
Can you imagine someone like Priscilla on any other station?
Right.
Yeah, two friends of mine, Silver Age comic book artist Gene Cohen and his wife Adrian, moved to Central Florida when they semi-retired. They missed WBAI so much, it was a major reason they moved back to Brooklyn. She said she had no idea how much they missed the station until they didn't have it anymore. There's a specialness to WBAI that goes beyond the shows themselves.
We often hear from people who used to listen to WBAI, usually about how they have rediscovered us and appreciate our independence and the news, information, and entertainment that is so different from corporate media. We have such a great history. Some of us have been listening for decades, not always consistently, but we come back and find good programs.
Some of them are old favorites. Ecologic has been on WBAI for more than 21 years. Help ensure that when you tune in next, we are here for you. Please support us with a donation today to let us know that you're listening. No amount is too small or too big. You can contribute by mail or call 212-209-2950. Or go to ecologic.wbai.org.
Those of you who are members, please watch out for the upcoming vote. It will be as important to saving the station as it was back in October 2019. If you've donated at least $25 since last July up to June 30th, or volunteered at least 3 hours, you are considered a voting member. There is voting every year, so becoming a member is always a good thing. Please send in your $25. This really is your radio station.
The last time you listened to commercial radio, what were they trying to sell you? You who listen to WBAI have access to information that your friends and family who don't listen don't have. You hear experts they don't hear. You have facts they don't have. You know about events that they don't know about. This is your station, your programming. Be part of it, and please show your love by donating in the name of Ecologic.
There was an opportunity a few years ago in October 2019 when producers and listeners met together to save the station from a rogue group from Pacifica that was threatening and almost closed WBAI. The good that came out of that is that we got to meet some of you. You guys really are out there. I met listeners who were delighted to meet the voice in person and went on about how valuable Ecologic is and say how much they appreciate us. Always nice to hear. Of course, when you donate to the station, we can know you are there. Also, when you like us on Facebook or send us an email, our address is on our website, or come to our events like the recent tour of Governor's Island, or when you come to a rally we tell you about, there are many ways to interact. Tell the call center you are calling to donate or get a premium or become a BAI buddy. We love that. In the name of Ecologic.
Or go to the WBAI archives and listen to an episode of Ecologic that you missed or want to hear again. www.ecoradio.org has a list of the last 3 years of Ecologic and direct links to hear them.
If you want, you can send a check or money order for your membership and or premium. Mail to WBAI Radio, Attention Membership, 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11217. That's 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, 11217.
We really hope that you'll take the time to look through our list of premiums. We are sure you'll find something you'll want. You can find all our premiums at ecologic.wbai.org. That's ecologic.wbai.org.
This is one of the last songs Michael Benn wrote for the call, Become America.
When will America become America? When will America become America? When will the home we love mean freedom for everyone? When will America become America?
That was Become America by The Call.
You're listening to Ecologic, WBAI's premier environmental show, right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein.
And I'm Ken Gale.
We're back with Priscilla Grimm talking about Cop City. So I understand there's a ballot referendum plan that the city government is fighting back at.
Yes, there's a ballot referendum right now that signatures are being gathered. They've blasted past their goals already. They're starting to bring in more people to help gather signatures. It's been kind of comically evil since the beginning. You know, they registered to get the referendum to start signature gathering on the referendum, and the court clerk like dragged their feet on it for like 5 days or something. And so there are several lawsuits going back and forth. I mean, we're familiar with this kind of election manipulation, if you will, in New York City.
Yeah.
So it's a fight, and we'll see what happens if they can get this on the ballot. I'm really hoping that they can, but you know, and what's even more frustrating, I'm sure, for the people of Atlanta is that, you know, the facility is being built in DeKalb County, and Atlanta sits in the middle of two different counties. It's Fulton County and DeKalb County, and the people of DeKalb County can't even vote on if Cop City is coming in or not.
Oh, geez.
Because of the way that the city is structured. Oh. I did want to say one other thing about, Rikers. Yeah. I was detained pre-trial in DeKalb County, which is a very common occurrence and becoming much more common now under Mayor Adams. And today, the organization Freedom Agenda is holding a phone zap today at 12 to ask for people to be released by the mayor through the 6A program. And it's something that he can do to bring down the population on Rikers Island. And even the federal monitor that has been assigned to Rikers has said that reducing the jail population is the most important thing the city can do right now at this moment to help people at this moment. And again, people, we are nature. So this is very much in line with Ecologic and the focus of the show. We need to release nature from behind cages, please, today. So anybody can go to the Freedom Agenda, to get information on, just Google Freedom Agenda New York City, and they have it all on their website. And the campaign to close Rikers.org.
Okay.
The website is FA for Freedom Agenda dot urbanjustice.org. FA.urbanjustice.org is Freedom Agenda's website.
Yes. And the campaign to close Rikers is at campaigntoclosericers.org.
And these sites will be on our page, ecoradio.org.
I did see an email recently that Illinois has been the first state to end money bail. New York and New Jersey have done some reforms, but they're the first to get rid of it. But people right now are sitting in pretrial detention, and they need to come out.
Yes, across the entire country. I mean, this is one of the huge problems that, you know, this can't be reformed. We just need to let people go home and start to rebuild their lives and make, you know,
free trial, you're innocent until proven guilty, right? So let people get on with their life until their trial.
Supposedly, but even after my bond was paid, I came out, I still have to report to the state of Georgia every Tuesday morning about if I've had any changes in my life, if there's any changes in, I would think that since they're in Georgia, they should know if there's been any changes in my case. But apparently I have to inform them from Brooklyn about what's going on with my case.
They're just hoping you'll miss.
Oh, literally. It's literally just to see if I'll miss so that then they can like revoke my bond. Right. Which is insane. It's just like one more of these hoops that they like put up for people to try and catch and cage them.
There is a frontline program about Mill Meek and his issues with the prison and probation situation, which is just
it's a wonderful link between what's a Cop City, the murder of an environmentalist, and Rikers Island here in New York City, how they are connected issues. I know they have separate groups working on each issue, but they're connected to each other, like almost every issue is connected. Almost every issue on BAI.
Yes, all of our grievances are connected through capitalism, actually. So all of our grievances are connected.
And fusion centers, we had a caller ask about those. Priscilla,
yeah, I remember those being talked about right around the time of Occupy and the how the different jurisdictions got together to stamp out Occupy. And through DHS, they're kind of quiet. You don't hear a lot about them, but I'm sure they're still out there.
Let's give a definition first.
Well, they're this places where the law enforcement agencies get together to pool their information, which, you know, if you're actually dealing with a crime, that's a good thing. But if you're dealing with repression and oppression of people, it can be, you know, it just expands it that much further. Yeah. Yes, you want them to pay attention to each other's tips. No, you don't want them sharing surveillance.
Yeah. Well, we invite you to call in with your comments and questions for Priscilla Grimm. The call-in phone number is 212-209-2877. While we're waiting for your calls, we have one more news item to tell you about. It's about another forest, the vast Royal Forest of Canada, which we're losing due to human encroachment, climate change, and wildfires. They supply some of the oxygen that we're all breathing, but their absence will alter weather patterns in ways that scientists are still trying to figure out. There's a short article about this in Science News Magazine, which we link to on our website, www.ecoradio.org. And we do have a caller, 212-209-2877. You're on the air. Hello, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. So fusion centers, I think, are info hubs. COP cities are proposed training centers that are in 9 states, including Seagirt, New Jersey. So I'd love to know what people are doing. The funding has already been approved to build a new one to replace the existing one in Seagirt. I'd love to know where they're, how many trees they plan to chop down in order to do that. Also,
the little town of Seagirt, New Jersey? It's such a little town.
That's where they pray.
Yeah, so you guys can, like, you know, whatever, later. So I got more, and I know I'm going to be cut off. So
no, tell us more.
Coming up, okay, so.
And who is this, please?
Thank you so much. Thank you for covering this. My name is Anonymous, and there's a guy that calls in. There's a benefit coming up. Priscilla, if you have the news that about the benefit that's coming up on Saturday, that's cool. You can announce it. If not, I can at the end here. But really quick.
Please do. I don't know about it yet.
Okay, so I have that. So you can. There is a guy, Priscilla, you need to know, who when I call in, he calls in after me, and he says that my name is Priscilla. All right?
Oh.
So WBI needs to get on that because Priscilla does not need that.
You just talked about the rally. Never mind that.
Okay. And so just in case he calls in today and tries to pull it, you'll be able to hear the difference between
all right, this is where you get cut off. You just said you were going to tell people about an action on Saturday, and you're not telling us.
Yeah, I would like to tell you that there's a benefit, but I don't want to get cut off because I would like to talk about Tortuguita.
Just go.
Okay, because it's been 6 months. Is that okay?
Please.
6 months since the murder of Tortuguita? Yeah, it's been over 6 months since the murder of Tortuguita down there in Atlanta. Nobody said that except for me and Tort's mom, because there are searching organizations down there that don't have phone numbers. So, they are evenly divided on, the signature collecting, which was delayed 8 days down there. And they just put out a number. They only have 30,000 of the 70,000 that they need. So anyway, Tortuguita, police, there is body cam footage, and in it, the cops say, is this target practice? Man, you effed your own officer up, and that sounded like suppressed gunfire. If you look at the purchase document of Tortuguita's supposed gun, there are missing pages. All right, now I'll just go to the benefit. Thank you so much. So Saturday, 8 o'clock at the Broadway is a benefit to raise bail fund money, I guess, for Cop City folks. And it's in Bushwick, Brooklyn. Any questions?
All right, thank you. And Wee Jacobs is our engineer today. Do we have another caller? 212-209-2877.
I had not heard about a plant in Seagirt, and we'll have to look into that and find more info.
I mean, Seagirt is right on the Atlantic Ocean near Sandy Hook. Mm-hmm. They have had a wall to defend themselves against ocean storms, especially in the winter, for decades. And it's a really big deal there. They want to have their homes right on the ocean, but they also know that they are vulnerable. The people there are so aware of the environment. It just sounds so strange that they would do this, but then they try to go after people and change the way they think.
Yeah, and if small towns often have economic issues, and they dangle this bait of this big, you know, expensive, money-bringing thing, and don't talk about the environmental damage and the human damage and all the rest of it, and
yeah. And who does that money go to? That money does not go to the people of
right.
whatever
of course not.
Place out at all. It goes into the pockets of the few, not the many.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, the promised jobs never emerge, or they're from out of town folks. And yep.
No, I mean, one thing I want to talk about the cases of the domestic terrorism charges.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, the DeKalb County District Attorney, Sherry Boston, she announced her office's withdrawal from all Cop City related cases in her jurisdiction. And one of the reasons that she gave is because after a thorough review of the evidence, she did not believe the charges could be proven beyond a reasonable doubt. And so continuing to pursue criminal cases that lack probable cause is completely unconstitutional and constitutes an egregious abuse of power. And it's the Attorney General of Georgia, Chris Carr, who it is in his responsibility to dismiss these baseless charges and to stop abusing, you know, trying to stop dissent by just abusing process and abusing people with these this unconstitutional charge, using the jails as a way to scare people and to not, you know, being a part of their right to speak truth to power, which is what this at the core of this, you know, this is a project that is poisoning the Black communities surrounding the forest. And they keep bulldozing acre after acre of these old growth trees. And it's just toxic in every single way.
Yeah.
Yeah. What would you like our listeners to do?
So if you can, you should give money to the Atlanta Solidarity Fund, which has been, you know, the core of the Atlanta Solidarity Fund, Community Movement Builders. Both of these institutions are completely, you know, supporting the, you know, the effort to stop Cop City. Go to Vote Cop City, stopcopcity.vote. Stopcopcity.vote is the website, I think. And that effort needs a lot of money as well to help, them gather the signatures and get this referendum on the ballot. Yes, it's stopcopcity.vote.
Yeah, the fact that they don't want people to vote about this shows that they know that the people are against Cop City.
Yeah,
they don't like environmentalists being murdered in their backyard. And Tony Gita was the first environmentalist to be murdered in the United States. Environmentalists are murdered in other countries almost with regularity.
And now it's
here.
And it's possible for them to stop this project. You know, the people of Georgia stopped a project for a launching pad for one of these like billionaire space missions. Mm-hmm. They stopped that at the ballot box last year. So they can stop Cop City, you know, if this referendum goes through. They just really need support, because their fight is our fight. All of our grievances are connected. We help our own safety by stopping this center.
Right.
Sure. Sure. And the history of New York City, one of the things that Priscilla talked about, they wanted to put nuclear vessels with nuclear weapons in New York Harbor. This was one of Reagan's pet ideas to make more targets for his war with the Soviets. And the people of New York had a referendum, and the city went, no, we don't want to lose, so therefore we're not going to allow the referendum. They would have been trounced. Mm-hmm. And so, you know,
but they got the message and stopped it anyway.
Our dear departed friend David Ferguson was very instrumental in that effort.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing. What, you know, when the people lead, the leaders follow. Sometimes they don't want to follow, but they have to. We do have power as ordinary people. We do have power.
Well, it's time to wrap up. So thanks for joining us this morning. For more information, go to the websites supportpriscilla.org and stopcop.city. That's supportpriscilla.org and also stopcop.city. Our website is ecoradio.org. That's ecoradio.org. In addition to an archive of our past shows, we have information on a variety of environmental topics.
And we'll also have the websites that we mentioned earlier in the show. We love to stay in touch with you. So those of you online, please go to ecoradio.org and sign up for our email list. Those of you on Facebook, please like our page. We're at WBAI Ecologic. No dashes.
Join us next week, Wednesday, October 2nd, 10 a.m.
Or the 2nd, maybe.
To support Ecologic, you can choose from our many premiums at ecologic.wbai.org. Become a member or contribute monthly as an Ecologic BAI buddy. Call 212-209-2950. We love to see those Ecologic buddy pledges.
WBAI is community radio, and there are lots of ways to get involved. And of course, we always need your donations. Do you hear that enough? Yes, we do. We need your contributions to support everything that makes the broadcast happen. The engineers, electricity, equipment upkeep, rent. Pledging now during this show really helps Ecologic especially.
We're always glad to have you with us for Ecologic, live or on the archives. If you listen live, we may be able to take your call and answer your question.
This show will be on the WBAI archives in just 5 or 10 minutes. Our thanks to our engineer, Wee Jacobs. We couldn't do this without our wonderful engineers. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert. Special thanks to Charlie Olson of the Environment TV for all his tech help.
And I'm Donna Stein. Join us next Wednesday, August 2nd, or find us on the archives. Check our website for details. Thanks for being our listeners.
See the sun, how bright it shines on the nations of the earth. All who share this thing called life celebrate each day's rebirth.
So solar power, inexpensive energy. So
we activist Sharon Salam speaks out for WBAI.
We should be moving forward, collecting the funds that we need to make sure that our station is whole and that it can do its job as it has done for me in the past. When all of this stuff happened to me many, many years ago in 1989, I didn't get very many opportunities to speak out in regards to the wrong that was done to my son and the other boys in the Central Park jogger case, as it was called at that time. Very few people stepped up. Yes, Like It Is was there. WBAI was there. And a few others. Majority of those stations that let people like myself speak and tell them what was going on the other side, those stations are gone. If we lose WBAI, where do we go to get our words out? Where do we go if you've been arrested unjustly? Where do you go if someone's taken your children unfairly? Where do you go to seek justice? We must keep this station alive. Yeah. Alive. WBAI.
No justice.
This is listener-sponsored, locally controlled WBAI New York.
So strange to find you here. I'd like to try to persuade you to contribute at least a dollar or two to the meager coffers of WBAI, terrestrial radio station. And what do you suppose your dollars could do to horrify corporate media with an alternative to their narrative? You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised.
Greetings. WBAI is holding an election to seat listener members like yourself on the local station board. In an effort to make this election financially and environmentally sustainable, we will use primarily electronic ballots. If you are eligible to vote in this election and we do not have your email on file or your email has bounced, you may receive a text message or phone call from election staff with instructions on how to provide us your current email address. E-ballots will hit your inbox on August 15th, and you will have until September 30th to cast your vote. Visit elections.pacifica.org for more information or leave a voicemail on 213-635-9363.
Extinction Diaries. The giant manta ray could be called the eagle of the sea with their magnificent wings and aerial-like maneuvers both under and over the waves. Nearly 15 feet wide, the magnificent ray is only capable of giving birth every 3 to 5 years and rarely births two babies at the same time. This slow reproductive rate cannot keep up with their slaughter, and the giant manta ray is being removed from the international vulnerable list and added to the endangered species list. They may not be on that list long because oceans have reached a catastrophic tipping point. Manta itself tastes bad to humans, but they are netted, cut up as bait, then used to catch sharks and other animals. Every year, hundreds and even thousands of mantas are killed for their gill rakers, which serve to filter plankton, their principal food source. There's no proof that the gill rakers provide any benefit as medicine, yet that is why Asian markets have them in such demand. And just like other filter-feeding fish and whales, pollution like plastic, especially microplastics, are taking devastating tolls inside their bodies. There is literally no place on Earth now safe for the giant manta ray. My name is Cheyenne Sunthunder, and this is Small World Radio Production.
We're in a unique moment here. It's a moment where we have a chance to actually demonstrate our power.
Imhotep Gary Bird, heard on WBAI Friday evenings from 7 to 9 p.m.
I learned from Dr. Walter Fauntroy, who fought with Dr. King in the Civil Rights Movement, that there were five areas that they identified that they felt politics could control and hit. It was health, housing, education, economics, and social justice. The fact is, WBAI is a nexus for the progressive community to make those changes in all of those areas, and has been decade after decade. I say to you again, whose station?
Our station!
Whose control?